Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to tell you my story. It's not my life story. It begins with my injury and my illness about 8 or 10 months ago. And to some extent, it's a description of what I experienced. But it really is not about me. The story that I'm about to tell is about the people who cared for me. The people who were new citizens, who took care of me while I returned to myself. And it is their story about how they adjust into this country. So, I've been a federal judge since 1995, so 24 years. And one of the favorite things I do are naturalization ceremonies, swearing in new citizens. You know, I've conducted naturalization ceremonies in courtrooms, in schools, in museums, on boats, just about anywhere where people wish to be American citizens. And it's a very exciting time. There are, in fact, many naturalization ceremonies. There's about 24 per year at this point. Roughly 700 to 800 people are sworn in from all over the world in Vermont over the course of a year. I do just two now. The first is at the Shelburne Museum, and it's on a boat. It's on the Ticonderoga, and I just love going to Shelburne Museum and swearing in citizens. But the second is the real special one, and that's at the State House. Patrick Leahy and I, in 2002, decided to create a naturalization ceremony at the State House to honor new citizens. This is 1 year after the September 11th attack. So we set up this ceremony in the State House, inviting the governor and other dignitaries. And it was with the intent of honoring citizens, new citizens, and of making that expression that we as a society must keep our doors open, as opposed to the calls from others at that time. We have conducted that ceremony on September 11th every year since that time. So naturalization ceremonies are just wonderful experiences. They're real celebrations. People come to these ceremonies with somewhat of a conflict, an internal conflict. On the one hand, they're leaving their homes. Sometimes they're leaving their families to actually start another path. But it's also a celebration. It is a keen celebration. And oftentimes they come in native garb. Their whole families come in native garb. Their whole families come to these celebrations. And it is a celebration both of the lives that they had, but also the lives and the dreams that they have for their future. And oftentimes they come up and I have my picture taken with them. And either the other person with me, sometimes it's a member of our congressional delegation, sometimes it's the governor, but the real celebrity at these naturalization ceremonies, the person that the people really want to see, Francois Clemens. Francois comes to just about every ceremony that I put, and I don't think that people who were raised in Bosnia really knew who Officer Clemens was. But there's something about the performance that that Francois does that really attracts people. So there are two things that I get out of these ceremonies. The first thing is this, just the sheer happiness. And I think it is really reassuring to those of us who have lived here our whole lives to see what people experience when they're becoming American citizens. It is a true joy. And they talk about it in terms of the American dream. And the American dream includes hope, includes education, employment, stability, and just freedom. And it is a beacon of hope that we should never forget. But the other thing is that we should understand here, and we are constantly reminded in these naturalization ceremonies, that this is a difficult period for these people. They're leaving their homes. They're leaving what they thought of themselves in other places, in many ways, to join us here. And it is a frightening, scary experience. And we need to remember the difficulties that they experience when they first come to this country. So, one of the things that I recognized in doing these ceremonies is I just didn't know where people went after the ceremony. I mean, there are a lot of people being sworn in. I've been a judge for a long time. I figured there's roughly 12,000 people who've been sworn in while I was a judge. And I just never appreciated where they went. How did they infiltrate or be accepted by our community? And what did they do to contribute for our lives? Well, then I learned. And I learned as a result of this injury. So here's my story. So Abby and I were skating on Lake Blue Ledge Farm. Right? This is our daughters and son-in-laws and our grandkids' farm in Leicester. We're out in early March or late April. And I took a terrible fall. I fell back. I hit my head. The sound of the striking of the head on the ice could have been heard throughout the county. I remember feeling getting yourself together. Felt a little pain, but not too severe. A little headache, but not too severe. Oh, this is probably only a small concussion. So we skated off, Abby and I skated off and went home. And over the next couple of months, I would occasionally have headaches. And you know, some lack of balance, but not severe. Until one Sunday night in early May. This is about 2 months afterwards. And at that point, I was having difficulty speaking, having difficulty actually framing the words, and then being able to say the words. So Abby, who's my life support system, said, "We need to go to the ER." And I, of course, said, "Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I'll go see a doctor tomorrow, I promise." Right? And then we get this call from John Barstow. And John Barstow, in his assertive, aggressive way, says something like, "I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you should get to the ER. And so then that's 2-1, right? So I'm outvoted. So we go up to the ER. This is about 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. So at the ER, they performed a CAT scan. They sent the CAT scan to Burlington, it was reviewed by a neurosurgeon. The neurosurgeon passed the word to Porter that he has massive bleeding in his brain, that he should be brought up here immediately, and that we have scheduled an operation at 4 o'clock in the morning. That morning, this doctor was going to stay the night. So I went up by ambulance up to the hospital, and I remember actually meeting the neurosurgeon right before the operation. And he was explaining to me, you know, what this operation consisted of, and that was to take the blood out of your brain, which required, of course, taking your skull, I won't get into that. Right. But this is the difficulty. You have a massive bleeding. We need to remove the blood. Your brain has been moved over because of the pressure of the blood by 2.2 centimeters, and this needs to be done now. So then he turned to me and was expecting a response, and I could not speak. I couldn't say anything. In fact, I could not make a sound. So this was a neurosurgeon who is, you know, roughly my age. That's older. And he was just incredibly sympathetic. And he took my hand, put his hand on my hand, and said, "We're going to make you all better." So, woke up in the ICU. Abby's there. My daughter Myra's there. I mean, the family has been incredibly supportive through this whole process. The fact that they're in the ICU, the fact that my other daughter would take me to treatment to learn how to speak again, to learn how to talk again, to learn how to walk again, they all shared in this responsibility. And Abby was the boss, the manager of my care, right? Without that, without someone actually being in charge and leading you through the process, it's not going to be successful. And she did just that. But this is, a story about immigrants. And when I got to the hospital, what I noticed was people were from all over the world. The RNs were from all over the world. The LPNs, the aides, they were from Somalia and Bosnia and Europe and Canada and Central America, etc. And many of them had experienced such difficulties in their lives. Some were from war-torn areas. Some were from refugee camps. The Bhutanese community is very strong in Burlington. And there they were taking care of me. So one of my favorite nurses came up to me at one time and said, I don't think you will remember me, but you swore me in as a citizen. I didn't remember her. But this was extremely special because it really made a connection between me and the people who were taking care of me. And then I had to go through therapy. So I was in the hospital for a little less than a month. And as a result of this surgery, this kind of surgery, it oftentimes you have setbacks. I had some very serious setbacks. So much so that I had lost the ability to walk. I had a belt which was put around me so that people, when I was trying to begin to walk, they would be able to hold me. And I could hardly speak. And my grasp of language was really reduced. So I needed to take therapy. And I started with occupational therapy and physical therapy and speech pathology. And Hannah would take me to these, and Abby would take me to these therapies. And so the first one was an occupational therapist. So the first day I was with her, I had just come from the hospital and I was sort of blank and she was discouraged. And then the second day I was more alive and alert. And she immediately responded to a patient who was more responsive. And then she said, "Do you know that you've sworn me in as a citizen?" It was at a state house ceremony in Montpelier. And it was the anniversary of the September 11th attacks. And in fact, I still have the program. And the next day, she brings the program in to show me, yes, indeed, you were the judge who swore me in as a citizen. So then over the time, I had numerous therapists. And a good 50% of them were from other places in the world. They either were naturalized citizens or they were married to naturalized citizens. From the occupational therapist to the physical therapist to the speech pathologist, the contribution that these immigrants were making to my care was extraordinarily special. So, did I know the answer to the question? What did they do after leaving these ceremonies? Well, a lot of them went into healthcare. So what about the neurosurgeon that took care of me? So about a month after the injury, after the surgery, Abby and I went back to his room for a follow-up. And he took a CAT scan. And then he brings Abby and I up to the monitor and says, "Let me show you this. You see this in here? There's no more blood. The brain has been moved back to where it's supposed to be. You're going to fully recover." Right? So, as he was leaving the room, he was a very, very sensitive, pleasant person. And so I said, "Doctor, thank you for saving my life." And so he stopped. And this I will never forget. He stopped. He turned right toward us, and he said, "You're welcome. And thank you, Judge." And I said, "For what?" And I said that, "For what?" "Well, on September 11th, 2006, on the fifth anniversary of the attack on New York and Washington, at a ceremony in Montpelier, you swore me in as a citizen." Always choke up at that point. So, what have I learned from this process about immigrants, about the contribution that they make to all of us? I mean, first, the celebrations that they perform in naturalization ceremonies are just really heartening. They all are, I should say most are, very much ingrained in their rich cultural traditions. And that is incredibly important to all of us because we are a multicultural community. We honor diversity among the citizens, and to have this celebration of these traditions every year is like our lifeblood. It's a reminder of where we come from and how we should respond to new people coming in. But then, I've also learned the following. Every time I look at a group of new citizens who are being sworn in, I think that among those citizens, there probably are nurses, healthcare providers, medical technicians, people who work to help the most vulnerable among us. Among those folks are therapists, speech pathologists, physical therapists who are helping those of us who have suffered traumatic injury to regain our strength. Among those people may be doctors, maybe surgeons, maybe neurosurgeons who make life-changing decisions to save our own lives. And in amongst those new citizens are likely to be teachers and principals who care for our children and who educate our children. And there are likely to be civil rights lawyers who protect our human liberties. And there are likely to be police officers who protect our community. And there are likely to be construction workers and plumbers and people who do all of the things that make our society grow and prosper. These are the people who run this country with all of us. We are them. They are us. And I think about what they experience now that perhaps our ancestors did not experience, or perhaps they did. These immigrants come to this country with a dream. It's the American dream. It's for hope. It's for education. It's to create a life of freedom. And it's very exciting. But then on the national level, what they see is an expression of fear and of anger and rejection. And it must be extraordinarily difficult for all of them in light of this message that may be coming out of Washington. I think it's incumbent upon all of us then that we welcome new citizens, that we express thanks for all that they do for all of us, so that they can adjust to this community with a sense of support that all of our ancestors had in the past. Blessed be.